David prayed in Psalm 41:11, "I know that you are pleased with me, for my enemy does not triumph over me." These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Contradictions. Contradictions occur when two things are said that seem to be the opposite of each other. If you say that I stole the apple and I said, no, you did it, you stole the apple, then we have a contradiction. Contradictions are important. In the fallen, sin-riddled thinking of the world, contradictions indicate that someone is lying, such as when you and I blamed each other for stealing the apple. When the world finds a contradiction, a puzzle must be solved. In the same fallen world, contradictions can be frustrating. We sometimes use the phrase, he said, she said, to indicate the frustration of not knowing who is speaking the truth, or whether either side of the story can be truly trusted. The scriptures of God are not fallen. The scriptures of God are not sinful. The scriptures of God are not frustrating. The scriptures speak God's pure and lofty thoughts, which are infinitely higher than our thoughts. When the scriptures appear to contradict, they do not indicate a lie. We're told in Titus 1:2, God cannot lie. So let me be clear. What appears to be contradictions in scriptures speak the truth of God that goes beyond all human ability to comprehend. God's contradictions are not puzzles to be solved, but often are mysteries to be held in faith. God's contradictions can be completely trusted in all events and every situation. All the so-called contradictions of scriptures culminate at our Lord's cross and resolve in his resurrection. Jesus was shamed, yet he called it glory. Jesus won a victory by losing. By his death, our Lord reignited life. To our human brain, can anything be more contradictory than the death of the eternal God? In the midweek meditations for Lent, I have emphasized that the Psalms speak about Christ. Because the Psalms speak about Christ, they also speak what appears to be contradictions concerning him. Psalm 41 is one half of a good example. There David prayed, "By this I know that you delight in me. My enemy will not shout in triumph over me." Those words are one half of a good example because they contribute to a contradiction. David said, "My enemy will not shout in triumph over me." But the book of Psalms also says about Jesus in another place, "He has become the scorn of his neighbors. You have made all his enemies rejoice." So which is it? Did the enemy rejoice at the death of God, or did he not? Well, the answer is yes. All contradictions of the scriptures culminate at our Lord's cross. And all of them get resolved in his victorious resurrection from the dead. In 2 Corinthians 1:20, we read, "All the promises of God find their yes in him, Jesus Christ." Listen carefully. The resurrection of Jesus is so great, so powerful, so cleansing, so all-encompassing and so overwhelming that even history itself has been cleansed of its evil and sin. But Pastor Dave, are you not speaking a contradiction? What I mean is this. The enemies of God rejoiced at the death of Jesus in keeping with the words of Psalm 89:42, where it says, "You have made all his enemies rejoice." Nonetheless, our Lord's resurrection was so overwhelming, so thorough, and so complete that he tore out the rejoicing from his enemies' mouths. In the resurrection of our Lord, it was as if his enemies had never even chuckled with delight at his cross. The resurrection of our Lord so stupefied and dismayed them. Their rejoicing was so overwhelmed with God's victory that their laughing at him was completely erased from history. That is why David faithfully prayed in Psalm 41, "Even after the enemy shouted in triumph, my enemy will not shout in triumph over me." Our Lord's shame was so completely answered by exaltation that it was as if he was never ashamed. Our Lord's loss was so thoroughly flooded with victory that it was as if he never gave up any ground. Our Lord's life so completely refilled his body that his body was even greater than it was before he died. Even the marks of brutality in his hands, feet, and side became the signs of what he had done rather than the signs of what had been done to him. In John 20:20, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Because the Psalms speak about Jesus, they speak also about you. You are the baptized of Christ. His scripture tells us in Ephesians 3:6, we are one with him in body. Holy Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:14-16, we are one with him in mind. Thus, the contradictions of the Scriptures speak beneficially, not only about Jesus, but also about you. For example, there are Christians everywhere in the world, including right here in this sanctuary, who right now bear the cross of Christ, according to the words of Jesus, "Take up your cross and follow me." Another example, Christians throughout the world routinely suffer hunger and want, especially in those places where war is waged and where government is corrupt. Here and there throughout the world and throughout history, Christians have indeed died of starvation. Yet David said in Psalm 37, "I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread." Those words might indicate a contradiction between God's scripture and what we see in our lives. All contradictions are resolved in the resurrection. When Christ Jesus, our Lord, raises us up from the dead on the last day, it will be as though none of his saints ever hungered or suffered want. Or if you are a Christian and if you have blood in your veins, then you also have things of which you are now ashamed, as the scripture tells us in Romans 6:21. There again is another apparent contradiction, because God has promised concerning his children, none who wait for the Lord shall be put to shame. The Lord of hosts likewise promised through his prophet Isaiah, "Those who wait for me shall not be put to shame." You may set your hope firmly and steadfastly upon the certainty of the resurrection. Let me say that again. You may set your hope firmly and steadfastly upon the certainty of the resurrection. When the Lord your God raises you up on the last day, you shall be so completely vindicated that it will be as though you never incurred guilt, never felt self-conscious or embarrassed, and never experienced shame. Consider your life. Consider the lives of your fellow saints in this place today. If I ask you to describe them, usually the word holy is not probably the first word that comes to mind when you think such things. Yet God has declared a contradictory thing concerning you. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Already, you are clean, declared the Lord, because of the word that I have spoken to you. One more. Jesus also faithfully promised, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. And again, Jesus said, everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Thus, the words of our Lord speak again in our human thinking, a contradiction. Because we look around and faithful Christians die every day. And we suffer the cross of their loss. But crosses culminate in resurrection. Crosses culminate in resurrection. When Christ the Lord raises our Christian dead on the last day, it will be as though they never suffered. They never ailed. They never weakened. They never died. In tonight's gospel, Jesus said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It looked like a victory for the enemy, but it was not. It looked as though the Lord had exalted the hand of his foes and made all his enemies rejoice, but he had not. In 1 Peter 1:21, we read, God raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Today we remember Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. David indeed said in Psalm 89:22, you have made all his enemies rejoice. Those words speak as much about us as they do the Christ, because we are joined to him. Those words help us not to feel surprised when people refuse to thank us for our confession of faith. But David also prayed in Psalm 41, and in this we hope for the last day. By this I know that you delight in me. My enemy will not shout in triumph over me. Through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ Jesus, the enemy's mouth was silenced. The enemy's mouth shall likewise be silenced concerning you. On that day, there shall be no accusation against you that remains. There shall be no evidence that stands against you in the courts of heaven. We are told in Revelation 21:4, there shall be no mourning. There shall be no more crying, no more pain anymore. These things shall be so thoroughly lifted from you. And your past deeds shall be so thoroughly cleansed from your history that it will be as though you never cried. It will be as though you never mourned. It will be as if you never sinned. as we are told in 2 Kings 19:31 and Isaiah 9:7. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall accomplish this. Amen and amen. Yes, it shall be so.